At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Blue Kool-Aid Drinkers! We are back, baby. We are back, and the Lions are coming off a 42-29 butt-whooping of the Seattle Seahawks, an offense that was humming to the tune of 19 for 19 completions. Jared Goff was 18 of 18. We'll talk about that other one-for-one later in the episode, but man, always bet on black, right, UJ? The black uniforms are out. So I'm Big Z. We got UJ as our other Kool-Aid crew joining the pod. He is supporting the black uniforms by wearing the black Lions hat tonight as well. UJ, I appreciate the support for the black unis.
I am not supporting the black uniform.
They look good. Come on.
It was an inadvertent black hat wearing incident. I'll say the helmets look awesome. The helmets looked awesome.
There you go. There you go. I'll take it.
He's not a fan of the black. How can I tell you?
But man, I think the Jared Goff and the rest of the team is, because this and the offense especially, because they were humming on Monday Night Football. UJ, this is what we've been waiting for. I mean, in a lot of ways, we've seen this version of the offense throughout the year. It's just they didn't finish a lot of the drives. In this game, they finished the drives. I mean, I just want to start with the O-line. Big shout out to the O-line. They kicked the Seattle defense's ass up front.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, they did what they're supposed to do, because this Seattle defense up front was pretty banged up. I think they only had one starter in the lineup of the four. They have four down linemen they typically play. So they're pretty banged up, but right. I mean, they can't do anything about that. So, they did what they were supposed to do. I mean, especially the first half of this game, those holes were just gaping. They were just running duo up the middle. The Lions did not miss Ragnow in this game. Like, at least, like, I'm sure they missed him, but the offensive line performed admirably, especially up front. Grass got moved in the middle. It was Saka.
I think.
You know, we've had him for 2 years.
He had a great game.
They're just running two man game, a lot of duo blocks, taking out the linebacker as well. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs especially Jahmyr Gibbs just seemed to luck out with just massive holes to run through. Monte a little tougher sledding out of the two, but I mean, just a dominant performance up front. And that when you're running the ball that dominantly, it makes the pass game so much easier. you can run the play action. It slows down the pass rush a lot more. And Jared Goff, UJ, he was proficient in this game. I mean, just tossing the ball left, right.
I'd say he was
– Go ahead.
Yep. I'd say more than proficient. There was a few times he avoided the rush. A guy hit his arms around him, and he escaped it, gets the pass off. I'd say two or three times during that game where he did that. And he's not known for doing that.
Yeah.
He stayed in the pocket very well, avoided a couple tackles, still made the passes. Incredible. Just a great guy.
How about the one where the guy came off the right edge, it spun him around, but he stayed on his feet and found JMO for like a 9-yard gain. I mean, we don't see that Goff too often. He looked nimble. It looked like ate his vegetables this week. I don't know what it was, but
he said something during the week about running more, practicing running. Because if you don't do that, like I think a lot of quarterbacks like his type, especially right. You're just a pocket guy, doesn't really probably run a lot, you know, actually go out and do sprints and stuff. So but he was actually made a point of saying how he's practicing doing that. And then maybe it showed up a little bit that game.
He's more agile this season. I mean, just with like his one run per game and now in this game, catching his first career touchdown pass at any level. Great play call and great pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown. Jared Goff did not have to like move or adjust to the ball at all. It just went right into his lap. The Lions said they've had that one stored up for a while, just waiting for the right time to use it, and it worked perfectly. DN caught it.
Picked the right time, I think.
And Goff, easy walk in touchdown. The Lions just continued to throw out like such great unique play designs, like the tight end screen to Laporta later in the game. It was like, they motioned in, and the motion receiver went through the C gap to kind of draw the linebacker out. And then all the tight end had to do was hold his block for 2 seconds. Laporta tossed his guy aside, had two linemen up. It was just like a really unique, cool play with the use of motion. And just little things like that, throughout the night, UJ. This is the Lions offense we thought we would see, to start the season. Obviously they had they got through their preseason, if you will, through the first three games, and this is what we're expecting.
Right. I think it's a good way of putting it, getting through their preseason. We've given Ben Johnson a little grief the last couple of games, but it was just a great game for him. He just called a phenomenal, phenomenal game this time. And, of course, the guys executed, too, which is all part of the, you know, part of it. But he did call a great game, and a lot of creativity, a lot of motion. Just we kept them off their heels, and they have a great secondary too. And for Goff to do what he did, pretty phenomenal. 284 yards, I think it was.
18 for 18. Consecutive passes completed in a single game since 2000. Kurt Warner, Kurt Warner was the last one. He was 10 in a game. Definitely, this is the most pass attempts with 100% completion rate. And I just want to also note that Jared Goff has more receiving touchdowns than the likes of like Travis Kelce, Jalen Waddle. There's a few others out there. He has more fantasy points receiving this year than Mark Andrews, the tight end of the Ravens, who went high in fantasy drafts. So. I just like all those stats that have been floating out there.
That's so great. That's awesome.
And then, J-Mo steps up for a big 70-yarder. That was the easy button for him. My God, was he wide open. Once he caught it, I think everybody knew. Like, he was walking into the end zone easy with his speed.
It was so funny because that one defender, and I don't know which guy it was who chased him down the field, he was running his ass off. And James is gliding, and pulling away from him. It was so funny. And I love his Calvin tribute there, doing the slam dunk. That was great.
Bates picked him up by making the extra point. So it was all worth
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. But what a performance all around by this offense, I'm telling you. And you said there are gaping holes, and there is true in a lot of time, but I got to say something about the skill of these running backs. I mean, our two running backs, I don't know who's better in this league, really. But there was one play J-Mo had. I think it was like a 12-yard run or something like that. But he literally squeezed through a slot. Like, you could barely squeeze an envelope through. Like, the blocking was coming down. And he just squeezed through this little hole and shot through there. I don't know if you remember the exact play, but these guys are so skilled at what they do in different ways. And boy, just phenomenal. You talk about thunder and lightning. I mean,
definitely.
Montgomery is just
Definitely the best running back duo in the NFL, I would say. Gibbs went 14 carries, 78 yards. It's 5.6 carry. Monty, 12 for 40. Not his best game on the ground necessarily, but he got another touchdown. I think he said 17 in the last 20 games. He scored a touchdown in 17 in the last 20 games, I should say, because some games he's had multiple. He's like an automatic bet on anytime touchdown. Now that we're on Monty, I just got to say, he went full Monty in this game. He might be one of the plays of the year when it's all said and done. His 40-yard catch.
When he crushed Witherspoon?
40-yard catch. Chuck Witherspoon breaks a couple more tackles, runs out to the left. I mean, I think we've said that, like, I think Rudd Dog has mentioned this before in the podcast. Like, everybody says, like, Gibbs is the most athletic running back, but I don't know, because Monty has the ability to break out some of these big plays that we necessarily not necessarily have seen Jahmyr Gibbs be able to do. Like, for instance, the Chargers game last year on the 75-yard touchdown run. And then this 40-yarder was just a thing of beauty. A lot of texts from Bears fans saying, like, why did we get rid of this guy? He's on a cheaper contract than Swift, a guy that they don't like. I think Swift made up for a little bit this week, but until this week, he looked like a terrible signing. So maybe they'll turn around. But either way, we have him on. We're paying $2 million less for arguably a much better running back. That's also a healthier running back, knock on wood. But I mean, just a great, great play by Monty. And just what we love about him. I mean, he's tough to bring down, and showed his supreme athleticism. I think that it goes underrated a little bit because he's kind of like a power back, but sometimes he doesn't get to fully showcase that ability. The play of the year for me thus far was that one, at least.
Yeah. there's so many good ones. I mean, he's on the hook game and ladder.
The Seahawks. Yeah,
I know. Seahawks, you go to this. The surf, Seahawks got the surf back play, the ladder. The surfing play was one of my favorites.
Oh, the surfing play, yes. Also
they
a
did.
Play.
They did.
But fair enough with that.
Yeah,
one.
It was. But there's so many good plays. But I just want to shout out too. I mean, since we're talking offense right now,
yeah, we'll get to
we haven't got to the defense yet. But I mean, Brock Wright, what did he have? 4 catches in this game, I think.
2 catches for
13. Tim Patrick is definitely
for Brock Wright.
He's definitely taking the Josh Reynolds role right now, I think. He made a couple really sweet catches in this game, that the kind that Reynolds would make before. And I think we're seeing him, if he stays healthy, as the replacement for Josh Reynolds. And I think as Goff gets more comfortable with him, we're going to see more and more of him because he's that big, tall receiver we've been wanting to have for so long.
I mean, one of my predictions is that the Lions would go get T. Higgins, but that's looking less and less likely if Tim Patrick can show out like he did in this game. 2 catches for 59 yards, 2 big plays. The Lions need that reliable third wide receiver. Is one of the big question marks coming into the year. I mean, there's Khalif Raymond, but he's more of a gadget guy. He's not a third wide receiver type. Definitely not a big body type like the Lions need in the red zone, per se.
Right.
Tim Patrick, things are looking up. And starting off the roof for the guy, what he's been through the last 2.5 years in his NFL career. To see him out there producing like he is really cool for him. And I'm obviously we're the great beneficiaries of that for now. So it's really cool to see. And the other guy I want to shout out to, I mean, I mentioned it on a 70-yard touchdown catch, and it was Bob's roar of the week, was J-Mo. He's just a complete wide receiver now, and I still think it's underrated. Like, I think the national media, like non-Lions fans, still see him as like this gadgety speed guy, but he's a complete wide receiver. He had the highest snap count of wide receivers on the field besides Amon-Ra St. Brown. His blocking is severely underrated if you're not like in the weeds like we are on this podcast and some of the other.
He's a phenomenal blocker for a wide receiver.
He's extremely willing. He's a complete team player. He's kind of a goofy guy and like on social media and his public persona. But I mean, it's just like a happy go lucky type personality, really. Like he's just kind of go with the flow, just happy to be alive type of guy. But it's hard not to root for the guy. And my thought is like, man, how do the Lions keep all these guys? And like when it's like Laporta off the line, Gibbs, J-Mo, we're going to lose one of these guys eventually. It's going to be so heartbreaking. So I'm enjoying it while it lasts.
That's what we do as Lions fans. We enjoy it while we can.
This team and the moment that we're in, because God only knows when we'll have it again.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, just the personality of this team and a team that's so together. I mean, so on the same page with each other, and they pick each other up, you know. And like Campbell mentioned, the first couple of games, the defense really kind of carried us. This game, the defense struggled, and the offense just stole the game. I mean, they just they just went bonkers in this one. And, you know, but that's what good teams do. They complement each other. They, when one's down, the other one's up. And, you know, it's never going to be the same game to game. It's whatever happens. But, yeah, phenomenal game. Oh, and by the way, Campbell has slain that dragon that I talked about on the last podcast, you know, that the dragon that is the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes. I think I lost you, UJ, for a second there. Can you hear me? I can hear you.
I can hear you now.
We're good.
Froze up on me.
I think Lions and Seahawks are destined for a shootout every game going forward, as long as like Geno Smith and Jared Goff are the quarterbacks in these games. But I just like everything about, I mean, this game plan. I mean, the ball was shared around, just a complete team game on offense. The one, I would say the one, if there was a thumbs down this game, was the just truly bizarre decision to call play action on the 2-yard line when the game is pretty much wrapped up. You just need to bleed the clock. I did not understand that at all. It kept Seattle in the game to a, I mean, Seattle still would need a touchdown and then recover not to kick. But it made the impossible slightly possible, and I just did not understand that decision at all.
I didn't really think it was that big a deal, personally. Our lead is big enough, and I know what Campbell's thinking, like he always thinks, if we can get this first down here now, we just...
I understand that aspect. Right now.
And he always thinks that way. That's how he thinks, though. So, but he had a cushion, though, you know, it wasn't like, it was a tie game or three-point lead or something, even a one touchdown lead. So I can't fault them too much.
Well, great offensive game plan. UJ, I want to move this over to the defensive side, where maybe there's maybe a little more to talk about, because this is an up and down performance. Now, my roar of the week, Jack Campbell, I thought played pretty solid in this game. Forced a big fumble on DK Metcalf.
He did.
In the first quarter.
Oh,
great play, great hustle. And I mean, there's some other things. Kirby Joseph, obviously, with the pick at the end, he was all over the field tonight. Campbell had seven tackles. Anzalone, I thought, played pretty well. A lot of this game, honestly, the Lions run the most man coverage in the NFL. It's like over 60%. I think we know this about them by now.
Right.
I think they need to blitz more when they're running that much man, personally. But we could talk. I mean, they don't blitz a lot for running that much man coverage. I was listening to another podcast. Like, they only blitz on, like, 15% of the downs, which is strange when you're running the most man. Usually the advantage of playing man is that you can blitz. I bet they're going to turn it up, especially when Iffy returns. But anyways,
I think he's gaining some confidence in his D line. Our D line, despite the fact of the high score in this game, they had a pretty good rush in this game, and they kept Geno Smith kind of contained in that pocket. The way they collapsed the pocket, it's so disciplined and so, and yeah, he got his passes off and he found his release guy or whatever, but they didn't make it easy on him, and he was under pressure a lot. But he credit to him. I don't know how he ever became a franchise quarterback, but I got to give him kudos. He's playing pretty good football right now. And here's another thing. It's a broader view. I don't know if you want to get on it. If you want to go more specific here, I can save that for later.
Go for it.
I just think that, okay, well, I just want to say this defense, the overall performance, it was not a bad one, despite the points scored and everything like that. We did make him go longer drives, for one. Second of all, we were gassed, man. In that second half, our guys, I'm telling you, they were gassed. They were missing tackles. They weren't bending their knees the way they were. I mean, it was just – however, in crunch time, when a play had to be made, they made the plays. And so, you know, there's going to be games like that. Seattle kept running that quick offense, no huddle, and our guys are just – they were getting gassed out there, man. It's just – that's all there is to it. They were on the field.
Well, another problem too, UJ, is – penalties, just murderous. And Terrion Arnold, I don't know if he's a target or what, but I mean, he's I would say at least on two of the three, I would say at least on two of the three, calls on Terry and Arnold were correct. I thought the pass interference was correct. Or was it? It was two defensive holdings and a pass interference. So the last one I thought was ticky tack, but the other two were just him being in bad position, unfortunately. And he seems to have a target on his back with these refs, the way things are being called. Carlton Davis got called for a couple too. He thought for sure it wasn't pass interference. I can see why the ref called it.
I do too.
Metcalf is a monster. Yeah. I thought they held up admirably, but you just can't have these penalties. I mean, the Lions got to do something about Terry. What is it, nine though? Nine.
You seem to be hard on Terry. I know you're being hard on Arnold right now, but he's a rookie in his fourth game, right? And I'm sorry, but he's still covering guys like a blanket. And it's not like some of these cornerbacks we've had in the past that they can't even cover a guy. They lose three. He's with them every step of the way. He's with these guys. I know he's getting handsy, and it's a thing they got to work on, okay? But this is a kid in development, and I just love his stickiness. He is just all over receivers. Granted, he gets a little
– I agree. I think I've said it in the last podcast too, leading up to this game, is yes, like this is not Cam Sutton getting burned on the sideline every play like by Mike Evans or something like that. No. These guys, they're in position. Now, maybe their hands are not in the right spot, but they're not going to beat off the ball. They're taking step to step on these routes with the receivers. And like you said, right. It's only game four. So I'm totally on the same page with you, with Terry and Arnold.
Okay.
I do want him to stop committing the penalties. Like the one guy he literally just tackled to the ground.
I know. But hey, just go back to something Campbell said maybe a year ago or something. He says, we can't worry about the refs. We got to win no matter what. And at the end of the game, no matter what happens, we can't be blaming the refs or blaming someone else. The only people we can blame are ourselves. Mm-hmm. So if you go by that philosophy, that Campbell's philosophy, and you can see, we had some bad calls against us. And Seattle had a couple that were questionable, too, against them. But it was probably worse against us, I'd say. But in the end, we overcame all that stuff, right? The refs, the everything. So that's what it's all about. And the great teams do that. And we're becoming, before our eyes, this is becoming a great team. And, So the refs is an issue, but it's not that big of an issue, okay?
No, I agree. I mean, we've been burned by the refs. God only knows how many times at the end of a game, UJ. So I think there's always that inside of us, that we're always against it.
I know,
right? That type of mentality, and then everybody always includes the refs, of course. And that includes the refs, of course. The defense, though, so Terry and Arnold, we kind of covered on him. Carlton Davis, actually, I thought he played a good game overall. Besides a couple of the penalties, those could have gone either way.
Yeah.
I had to bring up Hutch again. He is just unreal. Now, the smallest caveat is that he has not played a starting right tackle for any of these teams yet. They're all backups, but he's doing what he's supposed to do. UJ.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hutch has 40 pressures on the season already. The pace is wild. So that's 10 pressures a game. PFF's record was Watt's 2014 TJ Watt's season. JJ Watt's season, with 119. Hutch is on pace for 170. He is just unreal. And you can see the difference in this game of an elite pass rusher like Hutch versus a guy like James Houston that is not at the level of an elite pass rusher. James Houston and Hutch need to get in a room. And you think, or maybe like Houston just doesn't want to do it, but like Houston is such low to the ground.
I don't know.
Like he gets lower to the ground and even lower than Hutch, like, but can maintain his balance. The problem is he doesn't have a secondary move that I've seen in a while from him. You got to use that leverage. And like Hutch is best. Like he has all the different moves, right? He reads leverage extremely well, along with his athletic abilities. Houston, I need to see a second move out of you, man. He just keeps trying this dip low thing. And I think offensive tackles finally figured out. Just like, I'm just going to like lay out my body and just like let you go to the ground. Like they're just kind of putting their hand on their back now. And
pretty much
he's going out of play. That's why we haven't really seen him be effective. I want to see him like spin move counter and inside, like let him know that you have a secondary move. I mean, he doesn't get many opportunities to go out there.
I mean, to be fair.
But yeah, go ahead, dude.
To be fair, he hasn't had a lot of chances yet. However, he's got to take advantage of these chances that he's getting. And he's not doing it right now.
Not at the same time.
You know, I think he's still living off his 8 sacks in 6 games from 2 years ago. I hate to say it, but he's got to show more than he's showing right now. And he'll get a few more chances, and I hope he takes advantage of them. But he definitely has to show more. And you're right. He needs more moves or something. But
So we're on the same page there. But it was great to see Uzurike in there again with the pass rush. DJ Reader got in on the party. He just bull rushed the guy back to the quarterback. Yeah. That's what we wanted to see out of him. So that was great to see. And even Rodrigo got in on the sack party, UJ. That was a lot of fun to see.
Yeah, that was awesome. We forget how fast he is. That guy is fast, dude. But what a great play. It was a stunt. Hutch cut inside. Rodrigo delayed just for a half a second and looped around the outside and was untouched. It was a beautifully designed defensive play. So it was real nice.
Yeah, so the Lions ended up with 3 sacks, a split for Aleem and Udzurike on the one. Rodrigo got one, and DJ Reader got one in this game. But, I mean, Hutch recorded no tackles or anything in this game, but his presence is immensely. Like, on the one, UJ, I was like, oh, because on the goal line – Hutch blew up the tight end so far back off the ball that Kenneth Walker was immediately hit at the 5-yard line. But Carlton Davis was just in la-la land on the outside and just let Kenneth Walker run right around the contain. It turns into a touchdown. Kenneth Walker was pretty beastly in this game. This is a good Lions rush defense. So he made a couple good plays on. He's an athletic freak.
He did.
And he's important to their run offense. But, I mean, yes. So they were missing Brian Branch. I really wanted to see him out there this game. Brandon Joseph, I thought, held up his own pretty well out there. Calming down Carlton Davis at times with the referees.
Oh, that was like, I thought Davis, he was in risk of getting kicked out of that game, man. The ref, so, yeah. The refs are pretty patient with them, thank God.
I was making this comment to somebody during the game, too, when I was watching. Like, the refs in the NFL, in general, are, like, very patient. Like, if this was, like, the MLB, the umpire would be throwing you out, like,
a
single argument.
He'd be long gone.
Like, Matt LaFleur for the Packers got a penalty this week, like, for a personal foul because he, like, threw his headset while he was arguing with the ref or something. It's very rare to see, like, someone get a flag on them for arguing unless it just completely crosses some sort of line that we'll probably never know, even if they do. This defense, 395 yards passing. You say some of that was garbage time yards, but a lot of it, I mean, this is a shootout for a good portion of the game.
It was. Hey, Seattle never quit in this game at all. They fought to the end, and I got to give them credit for that too. They always thought they were in the game, you know. A lot of teams would have packed it in. They did not. So
defense on the field just a ton, like you said, though. Yeah. They were on the field for 75 plays in this game, which is just ludicrous. The Lions offense ran 46 to 75 of Seattle. So, I mean.
Yeah. How do you like that when See, Seattle scores, you know, after a long drive, our defense is gassed. We go out there, one play, 70 yards, touchdown, defense back on the field again. Right. Damn. That's what I was thinking. First thing I was thinking, our defense gets a rest now. And then next thing you know, oh, shit.
Well, right. Yes.
That's funny.
So tough on them from that perspective of things, if you will. But the defense, I think we're, you know, there's maybe a slight concern there. But, I mean, we have seen them play well up to this point. Now, this is just a Seattle team, for whatever reason, has their number against Aaron Glenn. Like, someone, like, Seattle GM has kept his notes from the last couple of years, even with a new head coach, new off-the-play caller. A lot of the personnel is still the same for Seattle, and they know how to play this Lions defense and this Aaron Glenn defense very well, for whatever reason, that other teams don't seem to quite mimic.
They do.
Now, they have DK Metcalf, but I don't know. But, I mean, yeah. Still, they did enough. They did what they're supposed to do. This is always what we kind of thought the Lions would be. Like, the offense is elite, and the defense system needs to be just good enough to create turnovers. And not give up 48 points like they did last year. So,
right. Well, I think in Campbell's perfect world, the Lions will have a lot more long drives, and our defense will be fresh most of the game, and, you know, getting the other team out. It just kind of worked opposite this game. You know, Seattle drives, and our defense, they were visibly gassed at the end of the game. And I don't think that, I think that's kind of a, anomaly. I don't think this is going to happen a lot, but I guarantee you other teams are going to look at this stuff though. And, you know, try to run that no huddle more against us, you know, try to keep our defense, get them tired. But then again, you have to execute, and Seattle executed in this game. And they just did.
I mean, cause if you're running no huddle and you're turning it over, Lions ball more often.
Right, exactly.
Their offense is probably better than yours for the most part. I mean, there's no reason why the Lions wouldn't be like on anybody's like not on their top three offenses in the league. This is clearly a top three offense. It's a top two offensive line. Probably the best offensive line in the league. This is the game that we wanted to see, especially out of the offense. Primetime Lions, baby, UJ. Mm-hmm. It is under Dan Campbell. They have they get the extra nap in during the day, but they are just great on primetime under Dan Campbell. They
love the spotlight, man.
And it's great. I think the Lions have the best home field in the NFL right now. Like, obviously, when you're 0-16, you're not going to have the best home field because it's just hard to support a lose team like that.
Yeah.
But the Lions are humming. I think it's the best. I mean, people would maybe say the Chiefs or the Packers. I think it's the toughest place to play in the NFL is Detroit right now.
It's hard to argue right now. I mean, with the decibel levels that the fans are just they're working as hard as the team is out there. Give them a lot of credit too. So
it all helps. Everybody's part of the team in a way. It's just really cool.
It's not just that. They're putting on a freaking show. I mean, it's one thing winning games, and winning is, you know, I guess it doesn't matter how you do it. Win is a win, but they're putting on a freaking show. Like, they're so much fun to watch. We have ridiculous talent across the board. The Ben Johnson play calling is so creative and it's fun. And, they're just fun to watch, man. I mean, right, I don't know how else to put it.
Every play is like, what are they going to throw at us new this week we haven't seen before? Like, it's the fake punt pass to Sione Vaque last week, the hook and ladder. This week it's the reverse pass or the pass to Goff in the end zone. So what do they call it? Alcatraz?
Yeah.
I think that's
Alcatraz,
what
they call it. I don't know.
I believe it was Alcatraz. Anyways, yeah, just a perfect throw. Amon-Ra gave Jared Goff's route a 7 out of 10, he said. whatever that's worth.
Hey, I think Goff was perfect on that because he flips the ball to Amon-Ra and just sort of casually at first. He was just real casual, like he was out of the play, and then then he took off, and that linebacker just a second too late reading it. And I thought Goff played it – to perfection.
Me too. It was just, and he launched the ball probably the second deck after the touchdown too. I always wanted, they should show where the ball goes. I when they throw the ball in the crowd, I want to see how far some of these guys throw the ball.
Yes. I remember Stafford doing that one time. He threw it up in the third level. I don't know, somewhere, but I don't know if Goff's got that high, but he did chuck it up
I mean, just a great overall Monday night game. The Lions on Monday night at home. It's something special. It's a special environment in Detroit on Monday night football. It all goes back to me in that, what was it, whatever that game with Javid Best, I can't remember the year off the top of my head, when they played the Bears and he just went off of that 80-yard touchdown run.
I remember that one.
Good on Monday night, with the exception of the Matt Patricia opener against the Jets. Started with a pick six, ended up getting blown up by 30.
Yeah.
Anyways, we don't mention that one. But the rest of the NFC North, UJ. Well, actually, before we get to the NFC North, there's just comments. Did you like the announcers in this game? Joe Buck and Troy Aikman?
No, did not.
I like those two.
I don't know why it seems like they favor Seattle, but it just really seemed like they do.
From the broadcast?
I generally get that just from my general feeling, okay? I can't think of a specific thing, but it just seems to me they love Geno Smith and Seattle. What's Seattle got to do here? It's not – I don't know. It's just – maybe it's my imagination. I don't know. Maybe
I mean,
it's
our
my
Lions
years of,
seem to also agree. You know, I seem to be the minority within our own Lions circle, at least.
But no, other people who were watching the game said the same thing. So
I can see it. Yeah. I like Joe Buck and Troy Aikman personally as an announcing crew. They're probably one of my favorite ones out there. Greg Olsen. Tom Brady's getting a little better if you listen to him. But Greg Olsen's probably the best one out there. Tony Romo's actually been good this year. Chris Collinsworth, I know he gets a lot of heat, but actually I think he does a really good job. He calls out plays really well and recalls things very well. Anyways, we don't need to get into weeds on that, but I just thought that was worth mentioning about this game. And of course, the black uniforms. The Lions will definitely have to bring those out again because, well, they scored 42 points in them, UJ. Whether you like it or not, they played really well at that.
I know. I will admit that freaking helmets looked awesome, though.
Yeah, the helmets look really good. Do you wish they had the blue face mask? Or do you like the black
mask? I don't know. I don't know about the face. I wasn't really noticing that so much. I kind of noticed the black line on the blue. I was kind of turning my mind to decide if I liked the black line or would I like the blue line on there. But other than that, the helmets really stood out really nice. I think they'd look good even without other combinations, you know what I mean? Like,
I like that they surrounded cool the helmet, outside of the field, like the walls, you know, right outside the end zone with the black as well. I thought they should have made the lion black and the end zone's black too. Just go full black, anyways.
let's just then hang a picture of Matt Millen out there while you're at it.
But the white uniforms also,
Jesus Christ. Maybe a banner. Maybe a Millen banner will put one
black
up on
Uni's
the ceiling.
Also for Calvin
something.
Johnson Day, too. So
he just happened to be there during the black uniform era. I mean, it's not his fault.
Anyways, NFC North roundup, UJ. The Vikings, they come out to a 28-0 lead against Green Bay in the first half, looking like their third consecutive blowout. Or fourth consecutive blowout, rather. And then Green Bay comes back. It ends up being a 31-29 game. But really, Minnesota controlled that game from beginning to end for the most part. And they look to be our top contender for the NFC North crown.
They do.
A lot of people had them finishing last in this division to start the year. Sam Darnold looks pretty good. I've been on Sam Darnold probag. I've been telling people Sam Darnold's still good. But anyways, they're 4-0. Green Bay moves to 2-2, and the Bears, they get a victory over Kid J's Los Angeles Rams. Sorry, Kid J, that you cannot beat the Bears. I know you got a million injuries, but Brandon, I will say Brandon
Decimated.
Fiske looks really good.
Okay, he's Braden Fisk, not Brandon Fiske, okay? I'm just telling you because I thought he was Brandon Fiske, too, for forever until he came on TV and said, He says Braden Fisk. It's not even Brandon. It's Braden. Oh. Just to get it right.
Fair enough.
Okay. But he does look good, by the way.
Yeah. That was something that we all liked here as well. Someone like Lucas Van Ness on the Green Bay, he looks good. I'm just thinking of random people. Kyle Van Noy, he would be a perfect fit in this Lions defense, UJ, as like a Derek Barnes replacement off the edge as that Sam linebacker.
Well, I don't know if you remember when Van Noy was drafted by us in whatever year that was, me and Red Dog called for him, picking him in the second round.
I remember,
exactly what we did. And we never knew what to do with him when we had him. Just ridiculous. So the coaches had no idea how to use him. And then he gets traded and he becomes a really good pro and for the Patriots.
He'd be now perfect fit for like what we're missing with Derek Barnes being out right now.
He would be. You're exactly right.
It sucks to see him on another team performing well, but is what it is. Go down the list of guys.
Hey, there's a lot of ex-Lions performing well right now.
Well, I mean, Ty Johnson scored a touchdown the other night for the Bills. He's like a bit of a...
Lincoln Tomlinson played against us in this game.
And he's on the 49ers for a while.
He's playing really
Jets.
Yeah. I'm just saying there's a lot of good. The interception to end the game for
Well,
Dallas,
I mean, if you saw some of the other game, it wasn't that good. He's got some problems. There's
I'm just saying.
Squad for them, and he just got called up because... they have like three injuries in the backfield, but the Bears moved to 2-2. So Bears and Green Bay 2-2, Lions 3-1, Minnesota 4-0. Lions next week, they are on a bye. So all you Lions fans, you can go and go to your pumpkin patch if you plan on having a family event at any point throughout the rest of the year. This is the weekend to do it. You can say you're the family man, like I'm not watching football today because I want to spend time with you, honey. because the Lions are on a bye this week. Then the next 13 weeks or whatever. 17 weeks with Super Bowl, right? The weekend is taken up. There is that bye between the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl, so you can do it then too, like the next family event.
Yeah.
There's a large gap there.
And there's a couple of Monday night and Thursday games, too, though. So you might have a Sunday.
If you're just not available on the weekday, then if it's Thursday. No.
Right.
But anyways. So that's the NFC North roundup. Otherwise, UJ, I think we're going to wrap it up here. Because I know, we could talk for 2 hours about the Lions, as you know, as you very well know, especially you and Red Dog, if you just a lot of conversation about the Lions.
I just want to say another dragon slain by Dan Campbell, and there's one big dragon left to slay, and that's the Super Bowl. We got the division championship. We got a home playoff game. We won a playoff game.
Well, I got to say, at Dallas in 2 weeks, right after the bye, is a dragon slay because of last year's game and all that controversy. A revenge game
means we're
on the
win.
Road in Dallas.
Another
team
dragon down.
Their coach might not be back next year. A lot to look forward to in that game. And it's always just really fun to beat Dallas.
And your favorite player is not even going to be in the game.
Oh, Micah Parsons. He's really half a good.
he's not going to be playing that day. We're missing someone else, too.
We'll get into that. But there's only two undefeated teams left in the NFL. It's the Chiefs and the Vikings. So we'll see if that's still the case when the Lions take the field next. But until then, we're going to wrap up this podcast. So, UJ, I first want to, of course, thank our producer who's back from Germany. He's back from Oktoberfest. He's a well-cultured man. That, of course, is our producer,
Kid Jay.
Every week on the podcast. When he's out of the country, the Rams have one of the most improbable comebacks against the San Francisco 49ers. He doesn't see it. It's like 3 a.m. there or something like that. And then he comes back and watches them play the Bears and lose. So that's how it goes in the life of a Rams fan these days, I suppose. Traveling the world. Anyways, we want to thank SidelineReport.com for supporting the podcast. We want all our listeners, let us know your thoughts on the Lions thus far. Give us a comment or any questions that you have. DM us on Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, or Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter/X at Drinking Lions, or on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Getting a bunch of views, getting subscribers built up. Pretty cool. That is youtube.com/@DTBK_Lions, or just type in Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on YouTube. You should be able to find us. Our logo, it's a lion smoking a cigarette next to a bowl of kneecaps. What's not to love about that, right? Anyways, we, of course, want to, and last but not least, of course, thank our listeners for tuning in with us every week and joining us on this ride all the way to the 2025 Super Bowl in New Orleans. So there we go. There you have it. And we will be back. We'll probably take the bye as well. So we'll probably be back that Wednesday or Thursday before the Lions next game, previewing that one. So thank everybody for listening. Yeah. We greatly appreciate you. And last but not least, as always, go!
Go!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go! Go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.